way for people looking for jobs. After years of planning, the new CityLink Center in the West End celebrated its grand opening today.
As 9 News reporter Scott Wegener tells us, its purpose is to help the working poor rise out of poverty.
Joshua Lyles is one determined man. He's arrived from his home in South Cumminsville to the city call center in Erlanger for a job interview. Bear in mind, his interview isn't until tomorrow.
I wanted to make sure I knew how to get down here.
At 20 years old and unemployed, Joshua is making every effort to make the right impression and get hired.
I'm excited about it.
He hasn't gotten to this point by himself. In fact, an entire community has his back.
That's pretty phenomenal, doesn't it?
That community, called CityLink, celebrated the grand opening of a one-stop center designed to make a serious dent in Cincinnati area poverty. Under its roof, various agencies take on 10 barriers that challenge many a job seeker, including education, transportation, and childcare. Latonio Chambers is an employment coach through an organization called CityWorks.
I want to sit you down. I want to know what may be a barrier that's within your life that can keep you from being employed, that can keep you from retaining a job.
If this doesn't sound like a government agency, there's good reason.
We are a faith-based organization, but we're linking together with anybody who wants to help attack poverty in our city.
For their part in that attack, Crossroads Church put up $10 million.
We think so many problems in our city, the church has abdicated the responsibility of really attacking and doing something about and thinking that it's the government's problem or it's someone else's problem. No, it's our problem.
And for Joshua, it's a solution. Scott Wegener, 9 News, Cincinnati.
Yes. It's a good day for the city. It's a good day for the city.
Yes, yes. I have a postscript, if you will, to the story. You saw in the piece, Joshua went down a day early to make sure he knew where to go. He showed up the next day. He interviewed well. They hired him on the spot. And he got even more money than he thought he was able to per hour. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the first time I saw that piece yesterday, I had this thought, you know, I never, ever want to be immune to the miracles God is doing every single day in people's lives. Man, that is a
so
miracle.
So
he is
true.
Working now. Joshua is working.
That is so true.
And it is a miracle. CityLink is now open, everybody. Yeah. After 10 years, CityLink is open. Man. Unbelievable.
Good stuff. Man, yeah. I tell you what, you talk about miracles. It has been a year full of miracles. There's a lot of things God's doing around here. And, you know, they talked about that $10 million in the video. I'm excited to be a part of a community where that doesn't represent one big check, but that represents faithful folks giving, regular, average, everyday folks giving consistently, giving sacrificially to make something happen. And God is moving in our community.
Yes.
I mean, there's incredible things happening. In fact, if we have your address, you're going to get this in the mail this week. This is an annual report. We did one of these a couple years ago. It's been a while. But there's so many cool things God's done. And I think I speak for Andrew and I when I say I'm really excited that the report includes pages like this that have bubbles and circles and stuff.
A lot of pictures.
I love that.
A lot
and color.
Of pictures.
Andrew and I have many talents. Math is just not among them. So this is something, I'm telling you, it's coming in the mail this week if we have your address. And well done. And you're just going to want to soak this in. This
Absolutely.
Is exciting, exciting times around here. And, you know, we're a nonprofit, just like every nonprofit. We're coming down the stretch of year end. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and continue to know that, man, when you give to what God's doing around here, there's incredible fruit on the other
Absolutely.
Side of it. I'm just glad to be a part of this community.
Absolutely.
So you got a lot of other stuff to share. But
yeah, yeah,
CityLink
yeah.
is open.
Awesome.
It's open. Man, all right.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, the first time I saw that book, I was like, man, thank you, Jesus, because I am not a numbers guy. But that is coffee table quality. Honestly, when you get it, you will be...
Which is like
You'll
what? Like that's
excited.
Like a step up from a bathroom read, right?
Oh, no. Yeah,
it's
smokes
quality.
Bathroom reading. Yeah, yeah, it smokes bathroom reading. No Facebook bathroom posts there. It's all coffee table quality. So, hi, I'm Andrew. And if we haven't met, I'm really glad you showed up. Maybe you stumbled in here for the first time at the 10 o'clock Sunday morning service. And you are now looking at a giant pool on the stage and a giant tent in our parking lot and wondering why. And I just want to say welcome. We're really, really glad you're here. If this is your first time, you have joined us on a weird weekend. Not that most weekends here aren't weird, but you have joined us in a really special weekend. We're in the midst of a lot of exciting things happening. One of which is this thing we do every year called Thanksgiving Food Drive. And yeah, you can woo to that. Absolutely. And so every year, a whole bunch of us go out and we get boxes and we fill them up with food to provide hundreds of thousands of meals, both for folks here in Cincinnati and all around the globe, including South Africa. And so this weekend is the drop-off weekend. And so I have a unique challenge right now, because as excited as I am to have you all here, there might be one or two of you who picked up a box over the last couple weeks and then conveniently forgot to fill it. And so here's the thing. We have every box currently accounted for going to a family who needs it. And so we are counting on you to return your box. And so if you have not, you have until 11 a.m. That is 48 minutes from right now to get over there and return your box. And so...
For serious.
You in this service. I really do. And if you haven't returned your box, if it's sitting in your car or something, you may want to run to Meijer real quick, do a little shopping, drop it off, and then come back and join us. Okay? Make sense? Cool.
But unfortunately, that box is not going to contain any Twinkies.
That box will not contain any Twinkies.
Single tear.
Moment of silence for a hostess. So, but that's good. There's one, you may have seen some pictures if you haven't gone through it over there. There's one picture I particularly enjoyed. Just let that slow burn for a second. So, there you go. Listen to them. It's like a 10-second burn. Those of them that can't read, they're asking their neighbor, what's that say?
What's that?
So anyway, thank you, though, for all of you who participated this year. It's been absolutely incredible, and it's happening at all three of our campuses, Florence, Oakley, and Mason. So amazing, amazing stuff. Hey, if you were here last week, you heard Brian talking about the fact that as we are adopted into God's family, we have this incredible opportunity to join in the family business. And part of the family business looks like caring for the widows, the orphans, for the folks that need a hand up. And so we just wanted to invite you one more time to some info sessions we have coming up on foster care. We believe that our community here at Crossroads can eradicate the problem of foster care here in Hamilton County. We have way more kids than we have space for them, and those kids are currently leaving our city, and we believe we can take care of that as a community. And so please check out your program for dates and times to find out more about foster care. I promise you, you're not signing up to foster, committing yourself by going to those info sessions. It's simply a way for you to get more information and talk to other people who are a little farther along in the journey to find out if it's something that God might be calling you to. So encourage you to check that out. Also, this Wednesday night, we are having a Thanksgiving Eve service here at Crossroads Oakley at 7 p.m. So I know a lot of folks have family coming into town. My family's coming into town. And so Thanksgiving Eve, 7 p.m. on Wednesday night, we're gathering together here to have a service together. There is childcare for kids 5 and under, and they asked me to include the announcement to please bring your camera phone. I have no idea why you wouldn't travel everywhere without your phone. It's foreign to me. I'm in my early 30s. I have no concept of not having my phone on me. But if for some reason you don't travel with it everywhere you go, bring it. We're doing a cool exercise with it this Wednesday night, and we'd love to have you involved there. Because we're doing that, we are not having a last Wednesday service at the end of November, which we typically do. We're also not having a last Wednesday service at the end of December due to Christmas and New Year's, all that kind of stuff. So those last Wednesdays will still happen on the calendar.
Yeah, they'll still be.
You will still live happening through those Wednesdays. You just won't need to come to Crossroads Oakley.
I'll just be on my couch.
That's right.
Pajama pants watching Lord of the Rings. So you guys.
That's exactly right.
If you show up, I'm not going to be here.
Perfect. So, hey, if it is your first time here, you may not trust us. I totally get that. I know that pools on stage are weird, tents are weird, dark rooms can be weird as well. But you should understand and know that pools are possible, and tents are possible, and $10 million towards CityLink is possible because the folks that are sitting around you give, and they give generously because they believe in what God's doing as a part of this community and because they've received generously from their Father, and so they want to turn around and give. And so we just invite you to do that right now. We have some volunteers that are going to come down and take up an offering. And while they do that, you're going to check out a video. And for me, I feel like God made me to be on the water. I love being on the water more than anywhere else in the world. Put me on a lake and I'm happy. But I'm also, I treat water with a lot of respect because I know it has the power to take my life. One false move and it takes my life. And at the same time, it's kind of a conundrum because I have to have water to live. So enjoy this piece. Thank you.
God, that imagery is so powerful. That imagery just communicates awe and wonder. It just it makes me think about just how incredible water is. And God, you're a creator who communicates through what you've made. And for generations, you have connected the power of water, the life-giving effect of water, to this connection to being your family, God, through baptism. And so I just pray that today, as we talk about that, and as many of us experience that we would just be swept away by the power of your heart for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that an incredible piece of art? Just amazing. Just amazing. And, you know, everybody, I mean, whatever your relationship is with water, there's just something spiritual about it. I mean, who hasn't been by the ocean or at a lake or by a river or by a stream, heard a thunderstorm and not been moved by that? I mean, there's just a spiritual dynamic to water that really communicates and connects to some things that we're going to talk about today and just what God invites us into in relationship with him. Water is mentioned over 700 times in the Bible. And we hear things like Jesus referring to himself as the living water, and other parts of the Bible that we've read where it says we're sprinkled and washed clean. There's just elements of water all throughout the story of God. And I have to make a personal confession on that video. You know, in the midst of all the nature and the waterfalls and the geese flying across the water, my personal favorite is the Navy destroyer just going up against it. That is just awesome. Just for awesome's sake, that's just awesome. That just speaks to me. So just had to get that out there. But there's just this thing of water. And today, even though you may not have planned on it when you came in, many of us are going to go through the water today. We're going to go through the water. So I hear, actually, before I say that, let me just say, if you're brand new, if you haven't been hanging out here for the last couple weeks, just to catch you up, we've been doing a 6-week journey called A Journey Home. And this weekend is really an addendum to that journey. In The Journey Home, we've really identified that all of us have a spiritual default mode of living and operating like an orphan. You know, we were spiritually distanced from God because of sin, because of just the brokenness of this world, and so we feel disconnected, and what we often do is we transfer that disconnection to other relationships in our lives, and we find ourselves operating like orphans, like people who don't have a home. And so in this journey, what we've been really learning about and experiencing and embracing is the fact that God is a father, and he longs for us to return home, and he doesn't want us to operate in a relationship with him as orphans, but he wants us to receive his love, to receive what he's done for us in Jesus, and to know that he sees us as treasured, adopted children. If we receive that, that's what God is inviting us into. And so through the prayer experience and through small groups and through weekend experiences, we've been going on this journey home together, and baptism is really an addendum to that journey. You know, there's something about an orphan mindset that I personally just can identify with in my life. I mean, if you've physically been an orphan, and what we know about people who go to orphanages and interact with kids who unfortunately are in that situation, orphans feel like they have to close the gap between what they have and what they need. They don't feel like anybody's going to do that for them because the parents, the birth parents who would have done that, haven't. And that's the way we operate spiritually. I hear that orphans plays a pretty significant part of the storyline in the movie that I really hope to see, but apparently a lot of you have seen. So how many people have seen Skyfall, the latest James Bond movie? Made $90 million its first weekend. I mean, just incredible. Actually, my dad was in town a couple weeks ago. First movie my dad ever took me to was a James Bond movie, and I just have a special place in my heart for James Bond movies, except for the character Jaws. For those of you who remember that one, I had nightmares about that guy for a week. But other than that, it was a really good experience. And so in the story, though, in the James Bond story, which I guess is kind of like an origin story, M, who's the leader of the MI6 spy group, says this. She says, orphans make the best recruits. Why would she say that? She would say that because she understands that the orphan mindset is that they have to perform. They have to close the gap to get approval. They have to close the gap on their own to reach ambition. And so oftentimes when you're operating like an orphan, you feel like there's a system that you need to operate in. You need to control it to get to what you want. And we do that spiritually. There are systems that we have that we think help close the gap between us and God, help close the gap between us and making it to heaven, or however you want to articulate that. You know, one of the systems that maybe you have grown up or been exposed to is what I call the sinner's prayer system, which basically says there's a rote prayer, you have to say it in a certain way, and if you haven't had a moment in your life where you said those particular words to God, well, then you're not really sure if you're in the family of God. And I'll just tell you, nothing wrong with necessarily marking a moment that way, but you're not going to find a sinner's prayer in the Bible. It's not in there. Another system is the going to mass system or the going to church system, which says that if once a week I check the box and I go to a place where a pastor or a priest administrates certain things to me and says certain things to me, that's the way I know I'm in right relationship with God. And I'm just telling you, you will not find that in the Bible. There's no biblical precedent for that as the way that you make a right relationship with God. My system was, I grew up in the church, and my system was, you have to just really be good about confessing all the bad stuff you did in the last 24 hours to make sure there's no overlap. You know, you don't want to like accrue a debt that you haven't really dealt with. So for me, it was all about, man, I got to make sure I kind of recount my day, and oh God, I'm sorry for that, and yes, I'm sorry for that, because just in case I go tonight, I don't want there to be any like debt in my account that somehow doesn't get paid for if I go to heaven tonight. So maybe that's a system that you grew up with, or maybe it's the balance the scale system. And it's the system that says if my good works and my good deeds outweigh the bad things that I do, then at the end of my life, hopefully those scales will balance. Maybe it's the growth system. And the growth system is as long as I'm better this year than I was last year, God will approve of me. So as long as I'm praying more this year than I did last year, as long as I'm giving more this year than I did last year, as long as I'm reading the Bible more this year than last year, then God will approve of me. Maybe that's the system. Maybe your system was the bell curve system. Bell curve system says, as long as I'm better than you, and better than you, then I'm good. So right now, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. What are your odds? What do you think? Who's going to win? I mean, we have these systems. We have these systems that we think close the gap between us and God. And listen, anytime we're operating like that in a relationship with God, that is orphan thinking. That is an orphan mindset. There is no system that you can come up with on your own that closes the gap between you and God. God did all the work. God did all the work. And this was part of Jesus' message that really blew away the religious leaders in his time. People who were well-versed in the Bible, well-versed, well-practiced in religion, really struggled with this. And one of them is a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. It was the first episode of Nick at Night. And he came to see Jesus at night, and he said this in John 3:3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying you have to be born again. Another way of translating that is born from above. Born from above. And what Jesus is saying about this idea of rebirth, you know, there's a power to the water. The breaking of the waters of baptism is symbolic of the breaking of the waters of birth, to use the birth analogy. And Jesus is saying rebirth is of God, not of us. Rebirth is of God, not of us. And Jesus says, if we will be reborn, when the Spirit's working on us, as we're reborn, we see the kingdom of God. What does he mean by the kingdom? Well, the kingdom is wherever God's will is being done, wherever God's perfect plan is in operation. And Jesus is saying, when you're born again, God begins to work out that kingdom in your life. So it's not just something you get when you go to heaven, but right now in your life, there's a reality of the presence of God. There is a nearness of God. There is a knowing of God. There's an experience of God as Father that begins to shape and permeate your life. And that happens of God. It doesn't happen because of anything that we do. You know, maybe some of us are like, wait a second. Are you saying I don't have any choice in this? What about free will? What about the people who don't choose this? And this is, those are very good questions to wrestle with. And Crossroads is a place we want you to wrestle with those questions. I'm not necessarily going to answer them right now. But can I ask you a question? Just think about it in the physical sense. Raise your hand in here if you worked really hard to be born. In the physical sense. Or maybe you arranged some things and you were able to kind of, you know, manipulate the process and kind of work your way to a physical birth. Anybody? Nobody. We birth is a passive experience for us. Now, your mom worked. And she would tell you that when you acted a fool when you were a kid. Boy, do you know how long I was in labor for you? Like, they'll tell you that, right? It wasn't a passive experience for your mom, but we didn't choose to be born. Even if you are adopted, the process doesn't get initiated by you, and it's not driven by you. And what's true in the physical in that sense is also true in the spiritual. And here's what I want you to know. This is encouraging. If there is something that's been moving in your heart, if your heart's been moving toward a place where you really start to see that God loves you and that God has sent Jesus as a sacrifice for you so you could be adopted into the family of God, listen, whatever God is doing in your life, it is of him. It is not of you. And that is really comforting, because in the same way that you can't do it, you can't undo it. So when God is working on your life, you can be confident that that rebirth process that he is initiating in you is going to be fulfilled. Nicodemus heard Jesus say this, and he trips out. He's like, wait. Nicodemus was a man who probably knew by memory and certainly lived out in his life obedience to 613 laws. 613 rules, some big, some little, but everything in between, he followed them all. And so he says to Jesus, are you telling me that obedience doesn't matter to God at all? In fact, here's how he puts it. The story goes on, this interaction, and Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, obviously, Nicodemus didn't actually think Jesus was saying, crawl up again in your mother's womb and be born, but what he's doing is he's matching symbol for symbol, and what he's saying to Jesus is, are you telling me that I have to start over again? Are you telling me that the system that I've been following, and following really well, the system that I know, the system that's working for, are you telling me that I have to start over again? And Jesus says to him, actually, I'm not telling you to do anything. What I'm telling you is flesh gives birth to flesh, but what needs to happen in you spiritually can only be initiated by the Spirit of God. Jesus is saying rebirth is the work of the Spirit. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that indwells every person who believes that Jesus is the way that we get made right with God. What the Bible also says is that the very inklings of the desire to follow God, the very inklings of wanting to know more about this loving Father is the very beginning of the Spirit's work in your life. The whole process is initiated by the Spirit of God. Hey, Jesus works at different times and in different places and different people. That's why we can't judge where someone else is spiritually, because we don't know what the work of God is in their life. We don't know what the Spirit is doing in their life. And really what God would say is just focus on what the Spirit is saying to you. What am I doing in your life and how are you responding to that? You know, I mean, it's one of these things like birth. Like some of us were born via C-section. Others of us, it was a natural birth. Some of us, the labor was really quick for our mother. Some of us, the labor was longer. Hey, different circumstances, but there is a constant in the physical. We were all born. However you got here, you got here. It worked. You didn't have anything to do with it. And the same is true in the spirit realm. The same is true in the spirit realm. Listen, the constant is Jesus. Jesus did the work. Jesus was the one in labor. He was the one that was producing a life in you. And so now when the Spirit of God touches you, it's because of the work of Jesus. Every human is born. And every son, every daughter of God is reborn. Every person that's adopted into the family is reborn. And let me just be real honest with you. I'll be up front, kind of give you a lift behind the curtain of Crossroads a little bit. For the last 6 weeks in this journey, our intent has been to do everything we possibly can for you to get reborn, for you to experience the love of God, to know that God is a loving Father who cares about you, to know that Jesus came and paid that debt. The cost of your adoption has been paid by Jesus' perfect life and his death on the cross. And we want you to know that. And we will never stop as a church. We will never stop being about that. We will never stop being about the message of Jesus going out. We will never stop telling people that God does love you as a Father and he wants you to be in relationship with him. We will never stop doing that. And there's a certain element that we can't control. There's something that only God does. There's something that only the Spirit does. And so I want you to know, if over the last 6 weeks you've been moved by a video, if you've had a moment in your small group where there's been a reality of truth that's become real to you, if you've been in the prayer experience, if maybe for the first time you heard the voice of God, I want you to, if you've been in a message, you heard a message, and something in that message connected with you, I want you to know it wasn't the message. It wasn't the music. It wasn't the prayer experience. It wasn't your small group. It wasn't the materials. The Spirit of God is working in you. And if you're at a place where Jesus is that constant in your life, where you recognize that everything that you have as a child of God comes through him, and you've put your trust in him and you put your faith in him, I want you to know you've been reborn. You've been reborn. The Spirit's work in your life has brought about rebirth. And if that's where you are, then this thing of baptism, which for generations and centuries, ever since Jesus left, has been the mark of every child that's come into the family. If you are at a place where you've received that rebirth, then for you, baptism is not an option. It is a command. It is a command. And Acts 2:38 simply says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What that means is along the lines of Jesus Christ, into the family that Jesus Christ came to establish. That's what it means. And it's a command for every person who's been touched by the Spirit. It's a command for every person who's been reborn. Baptism. Rebirth is declared through baptism. It's declared through baptism. In the same way that a marriage is declared through a wedding. In the same way that a marriage is declared through a wedding. So I don't do a lot of weddings, but when I do them, I love being a part of that experience. I have to tell you, I did a wedding probably a couple weeks ago now, and it was the most fun I've ever had doing a wedding. It was just hilarious. So part of it, I got to tell you the story. So you do the wedding rehearsal, and I told the couple, hey, you don't have to worry about memorizing your vows. Like, just trust me, I'll have it in my deal, and I'll feed you the words. And so we do that. We get to that point in the service, and so the groom starts, and I give him his words, and he kind of says all his words, his loving vows to his spouse. So then it's time for the bride to do the same. And she grabs a 3x5 card from her maid of honor. And so I'm like, She's looking at me. She's like, is it okay if I read it? I'm like, sure, if you want to read it, that's cool. So she's standing here. The whole audience is out there. She has this 3x5 card. And right as she begins to read it, she does one of these. And she had tied together all these 3x5 cards. So it was all a bunch of them. They were rolling all down the aisle. I mean, it was so funny. It was just one of those moments where it was just pure humor in a wedding. And actually, I was a little bit nervous at first, but then I started to laugh because she didn't know it, but she was tapping into one of my fears around weddings. Like, I get nervous when the couple tells me they want to write their own vows. I'm just going to be honest. I get nervous. And one of the reasons I get nervous is my fear is that the husband is going to come, the groom is going to come, and he's going to have like 5 strong sentences. And the wife is going to have one of those. It's going to be like 5 pages of stuff. So it was really funny. But you know what? I think about that wedding, and that couple loved each other. They had spent some time with me. It was clear they loved each other. We had prayed about that. They were going to operate their life as a married couple. Why is it, though, that they chose to invest the time, the energy, the money, the space in having a group of people come so they could publicly declare that marriage? Why is it that they chose to have a public wedding, a wedding where their friends would be there? Why did they do that? Because they wanted to go public with this. They wanted to declare their commitment. Hey, listen, if you want to have a private wedding for financial reasons, way to go. I'm not anti-private weddings. Not at all. But let me ask you this. If you were sitting down with me and you were getting married and you were the spouse and we started talking about this wedding thing, and your spouse said to me as the marrying pastor, hey, it's going to be a little bit embarrassing for me to actually declare my love in front of our family to her or to him. It just feels uncomfortable or awkward. How would you feel? How would you feel? Hey, there's a lot of great reasons to do a private wedding. That isn't one of them. That isn't one of them. Because there's a power in declaring it. There's a power in publicly declaring it. And in the same way that the wedding is a declaration of a marriage, baptism, for a child of God is a declaration that you have been adopted into the family of God. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've received this adoption and you've not been baptized, this is a command. And it's a really special thing, and it's a sacred thing. It's a sacred thing. It's a gut check. We often wonder, like, should we announce this? Should we give people like a week advance time? And maybe one year we will, but there's a reason we don't. And part of the reason is we like the fact, and I think this is a part of baptism, it should be a gut check. Getting into the waters of baptism should be a gut check to you of what do I really think about this? Do I really value and treasure the adoption that I get into the family of God? Do I really appreciate that? Do I see it for what it is? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that being a gut check. So I want you to know, today, in a few moments, people are going to get in this pool, and you will have an opportunity to be baptized. If you're a person who's been reborn and you've not declared that through baptism, you're going to have a chance to do that. And it is a special thing, and it is a sacred thing. I want you to know this is not for people who had a really bad week and feel like they want an emotional boost. That's not who this is for. I call those people serial baptizees. And if I see you and know you got baptized, I will turn you away from the pool. I'm just telling you that right now. That's not who this is for today. This is not for people who had a really hard week of drinking. Maybe people who have a hangover from last night and feel like, man, if I get baptized, I can communicate to God that I'm going to get my life together. This is not for people who are trying to work a system to get their life together. It's for people who realize Jesus has worked the system for them and they've been reborn by the Spirit. That's who this is for. That's who this is for today. And hey, I just say, if that's you, then today is an opportunity for you to get your wedding. It's for you to have your wedding, for you to have that symbol. Baptism doesn't save you, but man, it symbolizes. Rebirth is symbolized through baptism. It's one of the reasons why, as a parent, I don't want my kids to get baptized until it's their decision. Because I don't want my kids doing something as part of a family system. My wife and I have been baptized. We follow Jesus. We're raising our kids to follow Jesus. But I don't want my boys to get in the pool because mommy and daddy got in a pool like that. I want my boys to get in the pool when they've been born of the Spirit, when it's their decision. Because I want them to own it. I want them to have that gut check. That's a healthy thing. So we've been talking about the story of the prodigal son, and part of that story is this incredible return where this son is wayward. He goes off. He basically says, Dad, I wish you were dead. But when he returns, his father runs to meet him. His father doesn't run to him with judgment. His father doesn't run to him with more rules. His father runs to him with a ring and with a robe. And that ring he gave him was probably a signet ring, and that signet ring was the way that the father would really verify and do financial transactions. So when he gave his son the ring, he was basically saying, you are once again a part of the family inheritance. The wealth of the family is yours. And he also gave him a robe because he wanted him to know you are clothed again in the identity of this family. You are no longer clothed as an outsider, but you are clothed in the identity of the family. And in Galatians 3:26, this is what it says. It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, not through your family traditions, not through working a system, but through faith in God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This water represents the ring and the robe. This water represents that you're clothed in the family of God. You are clothed in the identity of Jesus Christ. I won't make any guarantees about how, you know, emotional this will be for you or not emotional, but I tell you what, I will guarantee that if you get in the water today, you will get wet. And that water will stick to you. And as it does, it is a symbol that the clothing of Christ is stuck to you. You are part of the family of God. It's a beautiful way to symbolize that, a beautiful way to recognize that. So today, for some of you, maybe for many of you, your dad is telling you it's time to come and get your wedding. It's time to come and get your ring and your robe. And I'm going to pray, and as I do that, I'm just asking that the same Spirit who initiates that rebirth will begin to stir in your heart and that you'll respond. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this incredible illustration you give us with water of what it means to be born again of you. God, I am thankful that I don't have to work a system to get to you, that you have worked your way to me. And I just receive that, and I know that you've been doing that in the hearts of many people here. So God, as people respond today to this command to go through the waters of baptism, I pray a blessing on them and a blessing on all of us as we experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that's where you are, if you are sensing that prompting, if you've been reborn, then I want you to know that the pool is open for you today to receive that ring and that robe and get baptized. Here's what you're going to do. If you're going to get baptized today, you can come from every level of this building, every level of this room, and you're going to come down to get to this aisle. There's a lit sign at the end that says baptism start here. So if you're on the upper levels, you don't have to go out the doors. There's internal stairwells, and you can just walk down there. We have volunteers that'll meet you there. And again, I'll just say this. I know that some of you did not know this was coming, but we did. And so we're prepared for you. We've got towels. We've got baggies for your personal belongings. Our volunteers will walk you through it all. And I just want to encourage you, man, receive that ring, receive that robe today if that's for you. And you can start doing that now. You can start making your way to this aisle for the people who are going to be baptized. And, you know, maybe this isn't the day for you. Maybe you've already done this. Don't want to be a serial baptizee. I appreciate that. Maybe just as you're wrestling through this God thing, this isn't where you are, and that's totally cool and totally okay. But I want you to know this is a celebration today, and you're at a wedding. And so maybe you're at the wedding, and you're trying to figure out if this marriage is worth it. You're going to hear stories today of how God has impacted people's lives. Man, just take it in. And gosh, if you are a part of the family, then you should be celebrating today. You know, I love this. When I go to a wedding or when I'm doing a wedding, I love when people go crazy when that bride and groom kiss for the first time. I love that. I love that. I love when I'm at the reception and people ding, 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 just keep making them kiss. Like, I love that. We should celebrate it. And today, every time someone kisses the surface of that water, goes under the water and comes up, if you're in the family of God, we should be celebrating our brothers and our sisters who have come home, our brothers and sisters who've been adopted into the family of God. So we're going to do that. There's going to be ways to interact. We're going to sing some songs together. But the pool is open for everyone who will come and declare the rebirth that's happened in your life.